gospel lesson today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 1 through 11. And on your Baha Pew Bibles, it's page 758 if you'd like to read along. And this is about Jesus. He heals a man born blind. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming, when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begged and asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was, and others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he, the man, himself insisted, "I am the man." How then were your eyes open?" they demanded. And he replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. And he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I was taking the hint just a moment ago. I thought, since this was back here, facing the wall, that somebody was telling me something. I'm not sure what it was, but maybe keep it short. Here's mud in your eyes as we gather this day. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your holy word and ask that as we come today in your name, we may be guided by it and inspired by it. And as we worship together, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last night was unlike every other night I could remember. Oh, it had been a long, long day, but now I was home in a place I had never seen before. I looked up into the clear sky. Oh, the moon was bold and bright, and the radiance of the stars like millions of candles almost took my breath away. All day long, the world was aflame with color I had never seen before. There were greens and reds and blues and browns and purples, colors I had heard of. But oh, seeing them made all the difference in the world. There were people of all kinds and in all kinds of dress and animals I had never seen. A variety of noises that took on new meaning. Oh, I was overwhelmed by the things that I had taken for granted. I felt the walls of our little Judean home, but I had never seen them. And I had never seen my mother as she prepared the evening meal. Oh, she was even more beautiful than I imagined, and her smile seemed to spread on the faces of everyone who gathered for this time of celebration. It was a wonderful day. Father was rugged and wrinkled, and his laughter matched his bright red coat, the one that he wore over his shoulders. Walls were plain. The floors were swept, and the fire was bright with flames dancing all around us as we ate and as we talked and as we sang into the night. Oh, it was a wonderful occasion. There was little sleep. You see, I didn't want to close my eyes to forget the day. Oh, the day began as usual. As I made my way early to the road where I had been begging for years and years. Oh, yes. Where I'd begged for alms from the passers-by. Please consider the poor, I'd shout to them. Consider the poor. Have mercy on a beggar blind from birth. Please, alms for the poor. The generosity helped me survive, and it helped my family survive as well. But the noise and the dust and the heat were always the same, day after day, month after month, year after year. Years and years of nothing but darkness. Can you imagine what it was like? Until yesterday, when a small band of men stopped by my side, I was afraid because they might harm me, or really afraid because they might steal my coins. One man called another rabbi. And I'm sure I heard the one to whom he spoke reply, "We need to work until the sun shines and before night arrives. But know this, as long as I am in the world, there will be plenty of light, for I am the light of the world." I heard him say that. The light of the world. As he came up and touched my face and asked me if I would like to see again. "Yes. Yes," I whispered. "Oh, I'd love to see it again." I heard him spit on the ground. And before I knew it, he was placing cold compresses of mud into my eyes. How strange it was. And he said, "Go to the healing waters of Siloam and wash the mud from your face." I had no idea what he was talking about. I couldn't understand, but I would do as he said, and I was led to the pools. You cannot imagine or begin to understand how I felt as I saw through the water as it trickled down my face and the mud was washed away. I was no longer blind. I inhaled the world through eyes now able to see. And the man by the name of Jesus made it all possible. What a story. The great story from Scripture. And the response to this particular miracle was swift. And if you read the account, and do so, we didn't read the whole account today like we did last Sunday. It took 10 minutes to do that. But this is equally as long. Read the whole account and get the gist of the story. The whole town was buzzing after this. Neighbors and relatives who knew the man, knew him as a blind beggar, were the first to speak out. "Are you sure we have the right man? Isn't the one who's been blind all of his life? Come on. The one we all knew who sat here for years and begged?" Well, some weren't sure about all of this. Others only heard rumors about him being able to see. And others proclaimed vehemently, "Well, it's him all right. He's the one. I know him anywhere. I could pick him out in a crowd. I know the man." And others spoke with equal authority, "Get a grip. Will you get a grip? This isn't the beggar we all knew. It may look like him, but he isn't the kind to make up stories like this. Check this man's DNA. Let's see, did they do that in those days? Check that man's DNA. The blind man's parents were not only intimidated, but they were grilled constantly about the situation. "Look, we know our son when we see him. He was born blind, and he isn't now. That's straight fact. Born blind, isn't now. We don't know how he came to see. Haven't a clue. We don't know the one who opened his eyes. If you want to know more about this, talk to my son. He's an adult. He can speak for himself." And that's what they said. "Now, leave us alone." Of course, the Pharisees, scrupulous teachers of the law and preservers of the faith got wind of all of this, and I can imagine as they puzzled until their puzzler was sore, thought, you know, we better talk to this man. And so they did, and they talked to the beggar not only once but twice. They questioned him. The first time, those zealots of the law couldn't make up their minds about Jesus at all. Some said he didn't keep the Sabbath. And you know, that man never keeps the Sabbath. He's always working then. Either there's somebody in the ditch or somebody's blind. I don't know what it is. Others said a bad guy couldn't have performed such a godly miracle. It must have been somebody who was of God. What do you think? They asked the beggar. What do you think? Well, must have been a prophet. What? Must have been a prophet. Well, the answer was not good enough for the upstanding religious folks. So they called the beggar back again. Imposter! It's imposter! That's what they called Jesus. What do you think? He's an imposter. No one can do the things that he said that he's done. Well, I don't know about that, said the beggar. I don't know about that at all, but one thing I do know, what's that? I can see. I couldn't see before. I can see. I couldn't see before. Tell us more. Tell you more, responded the beggar. I could tell you countless times, but you still wouldn't get it. Just remember, if Jesus isn't God's man, he couldn't have done a thing. I love the response of the Pharisees, which was basically this. Get lost and get out of our sight. I don't want to see you again. At the end of this very interesting drama, Jesus learns that the beggar who was driven out of the synagogue is there in his presence. And he begins to talk to the man. Do you believe in the Son of Man? He says to the now sight-seeing beggar. Who is he? Responds the beggar. Who is this man? Point him out that I can believe in him. And Jesus said, I just love this comment. Jesus said, I'm the one. And you're looking at him. Don't you recognize my voice? You may not recognize my face, but do you recognize my voice? And then a startling confession from the one who at one point in time said the one who probably healed him was a prophet. He said, I believe. And the man worshiped the Lord. I don't know if you remember our Lord's reading of Scripture in the synagogue in the early days of his ministry. Remember how he unrolled the scroll and read from the book of Isaiah as people looked on amazed and confused and bewildered? And he read these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has set me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to let the oppressed go free." Recovery of sight to the blind. And if you read the passage of Scripture a little more, you realize that he's not only talking about those who have no sight, but he's talking about those of us who can see and are yet blind. Recovery of sight to the blind, that even those of us who can see can have a new vision, a new eyesight, a new future, a new horizon. Something we see before us that we could not ordinarily see without Christ as a part of our lives. How do I see? In Christ, I see myself saved from sin and death. In Christ, I see myself as a child of God, loved and gifted and valued and special because of Christ. In Christ, I'm a person with a future. No matter how old I am a person with a future. And with a horizon and a new tomorrow, and contrary to what some folks would like, I have a new song to sing. In Christ, I am blessed to be a blessing. And I'm served so I can serve others. As Christ touches my eyes, I begin to see the desperate and the lonely and the lost and the sick and the grieving and the hungry and the dying. And that happens when Christ touches our eyes. Christ has touched my eyes, and I will never be the same person again. How is your vision? Have you had it checked lately? Oh, not by the optometrist or the ophthalmologist, but have you had it checked lately? You know, after the beggar confessed Jesus as Lord, the master said some very interesting statements. And I quote from the message, "I came into the world to bring everything into the clear light of day, making all distinctions clear, so that those who have never seen will see, and those who have made a great pretense of seeing will be exposed as blind." In the journey of our faith, do we have a new vision, a new insight, and a new sight because Christ is Lord? Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit.